All right, let's get to it. Big third hour coming up. Lots to get done. I am Jim Rome. Welcome to the Jungle. Program brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. About 20 minutes from right now, we will talk to an MLB Network analyst and a 1997 World Series champion, Cliff Floyd. This very moment, we are efforting the head football coach at Louisville, Scott Satterfield, and I will find him momentarily. Alvin's 4 days that were are coming up this hour. And your phone number is toll-free, 1-800-636-8686. Louisville is at home on Saturday. They've got a big one. Number two, Clemson, is coming to their place. At SA Sports Honk tweets, my favorite golf rivalry was Monty versus the Custard. Sincerely, Elk.
Right, and I beat Monty. Monty. I play better than him. I don't give a shit. We go into the players' lounge, and in the lounge, because there's only four players playing on the semifinals, there's only four of us in there, right, or two at the time. So me and Lisa, my wife, were sitting over in the corner. They got this buffet out there, mate, that's so spectacular. They got, and Monty's over on the other side. He's got 25 people. He's got, you know, royalty over there. He's got Prince William or Prince William's brother who might have a time or two or whatever. I'm eating a cheese sandwich over here because I can't eat when I'm playing. I get too nervous. So, and in the middle of this beautiful buffet is a custard castle, a replica of the clubhouse at Wentworth is a castle. It's a magnificent custard thing. I mean, mate, if you saw it, you'd say, me, that's a good design on that custard
the
castle.
The architecture on the custard castle.
Just on the just architecture alone, Jimmy, is legendary.
You don't need that.
No. So I'm looking at it. I'm thinking, this is great. And Monty gets up. He's at the end of the table. And he comes over. And he...
I interrupt that amazing anecdote. Steve Elkington talking about Monty. I interrupt that anecdote to talk some Louisville football. We are joined by the head coach at Louisville. He was named head coach in December. First season with the Cardinals. Led App State to three consecutive bowl wins. Louisville is 4-2 on the year, and they've got number two Clemson coming in on Saturday. Scott Satterfield is my guest. Scott, nice to have you back. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Good to have you. So you've got a big one coming up this weekend, but you're coming off a 62-59 win over number 19 Wake Forest in their place Saturday night. I know you're focused on the challenge coming up this weekend. I will definitely get to that. But when you look back on that win over the Demon Deacons, what kind of thoughts do you have?
Well, a couple of different thoughts. I think number one, we didn't play very good defense. That's number one thought.
Right.
But then we played pretty good offense, you know, and special teams. We were able to score a lot of points, you know. You go into halftime, and I'm looking, we got 31 points. We got over 400 yards of offense. And we're going, wow, that's a pretty good half, you know. And how are you going to top that? But you come right out in the second half. We had an 83-yard kickoff return, and we scored on the first play. So it was a high-scoring game. I've never been a part of a game like that. It was just so many back-and-forth plays. And then, you know, they ended up with four onside kicks that they attempted, and they got one of them, you know, and it comes down to the last onside kick that we ultimately end up getting. But just a great football game, just fun and entertaining. If you love offense, you obviously love that game.
Yeah, man, I'll say this. It was a wild, wild game. Just so we're clear, for those who did not see it or those who missed it, you were up 52-31 in the fourth. Wake Forest started that big comeback. It got them to within 3 points with less than 4 minutes to go. So when a team like Wake gets rolling at home, it might be easy for an opponent to crumble or find a way to lose. What's it say about your team that you found a way to win and the sort of mental and physical toughness they displayed?
Yeah, you know, that part was, you know, challenging, obviously. We just come off a game the week before against Boston College where we had to do a last-minute drive to kick the field goal, and then we had to hold them on fourth down to end up winning that game by a couple of points. And then, you know, we're coming down to another game in conference play against a ranked team on the road. You know, we knew that Wake Forest was going to be a big challenge. They had, I think, over the 24 guys that were fourth- or fifth-year players. And then for us to stick it out and to hang on there at the end, you know, just tremendous fight from our guys, you know, particularly a team that we, you know, they didn't win any ACC games the year before. And now, you know, we've won back-to-back games now here in the last minute of these games. It just shows how far we've been able to come with these guys and how much fight they have.
Scott Satterfield joining us. head coach at Louisville. All right, so when you took that job, you knew there was going to be some hard work in front of you. It's a team that went 2-10 last season. So how significant is it that you're 4-2 and you've got a road win over a top 25 team? Does that feel like a win on Saturday, or does that feel like kind of a milestone win, a statement win?
Yeah, I think it's a statement win. There's no question. I think it's the first ACC road win versus a ranked opponent we've had, since we've been in the ACC, and you know, particularly a team like you mentioned that, you know, didn't win any ACC games last year, you know, and now we've won back to back, you know, and I think Wake Forest is a good football team. I think when we look on their team at the end of the season, they're going to be a team with a lot of wins. And, I think Coach Clawson's done a great job. We've got a lot of respect for their program. So for us and where we are right now, that's huge for us. You know, after six games, we have four wins. I don't think many people throughout the country, you know, would have predicted that. You know, they wouldn't have predicted four wins at the end of the season. You know, we're sitting here at the halfway point. So I think it was a huge win for us. And, you know, hopefully we'll be able to parlay that into many more wins as we head throughout the second half of our season.
Scott Satterfield joining us once again. We've got a major opportunity coming up this weekend. Clemson is coming to your place. What kind of thoughts do you have when you watch them on film?
Oh, man, they're really good. I hear some of this talk about the media saying, you know, hey, what's wrong with Clemson? Nothing's wrong with Clemson. I think they're number three in the country in defense. Their offense has the best quarterback in the country, one of the best running backs in the country, two of the best wide receivers. They have so much talent across the board. When you look at the film and you just start watching it, you know, it's like, you know, they're so good. I mean, they're so good at all their spots. And then, you know, we know they're coached well. We know they play hard. We know, you know, they expect to win. That's just in their DNA and their culture and their program. So, they're a really, really good football team. They're the defending national champion, still undefeated. They've won 21 straight games. So they've got a lot of things going for them. And, for us, we have nothing to lose. There's nobody going to pick us to win this game. You know, they're coming to our place, 12 noon. We're excited about that. And, we're going to go out and have fun and play our tails off.
We're talking to Scott Satterfield. You know, every single coach that I talk to on this show talks about culture and wanting to develop a certain culture. And you're no different. I'm sure when you went there, you had the same feeling. As part of building relationships, there's now a tradition of sessions at the fire. For those who do not know, where is the fire? Who comes to the sessions? And what do you hope that people take away from it?
You talking about the fire that the coaches do?
Yes.
Yeah, we do it on Wednesday nights. This is something that Jerry Moore started back in 1990 at App State. And, you know, I was a part of his staff for many, many years that we did that. It's really just our coaching staff and some of our support staff that's in the building that we go out. We bring a speaker in and just kind of fellowship and get together. It's not football. It's, it's just us fellowshipping and getting together. And, I think it's so important to have balance in coaching. I think, you know, so many times we get consumed of just we're all about X and O's and ball. Well, there's more to that. I mean, you know, you have to have relationships. You have to have to be able to talk something outside of football to get your mind away from it. I think it helps you and it makes you excel in the game of football. You know, when you have family time, when you have fellowship time with other people, and I think we want to be well-balanced men, I think, number one. And then we want to be influencers. We want to influence these young people that we have an opportunity to influence each and every day, and we're so excited to be able to do that.
Scott Satterfield is my guest. All right, before you go, I want to talk to you about one thing that happened earlier this season. Thomas Nauert, a graduate student, walk-on long snapper, got into a game against Eastern Kentucky. He's a guy who's been there. He's been grinding and pouring his heart into the program for a long time, but thought that he might never get on the field. What did it mean to you to see him finally get that moment and then to see his teammates celebrate in the film room with him later on?
Oh, it was awesome. You know, I love it. That's one of my favorite things as a kid coach or as a coach in general, just to be able to see, you know, here's a guy who's always loved the Louisville Cardinals and, you know, kind of a dream to be a part of this team. He's able to be a part of the team, you know, just want to get in the weight room, just want to practice it. And all of a sudden, you know, his last year here, he gets an opportunity to get on the field and get a snap. And it was a great snap. We actually showed it in front of our team, you know, Sunday after the game, and the whole team's just going crazy. I mean, it's just tremendous. You know, he'll remember that for the rest of his life and the opportunity to play for this team and to be with these guys. That's awesome. That's what it's all about right there, and I'm so happy to be able to do that for North.
So great to see that. Hey, Scott, one last thought. You opened up the season with a loss to a very good Notre Dame team, and as you've said, you're not somebody who believes in moral victories per se, but what did you make of the fight that your team showed in that game, and then how much did that set the stage for what's happened since then?
Yeah, I think that was huge, you know, because we get in here and you got spring practice and summer and August camp, and you know Notre Dame's on the horizon, and you know how good they are and what kind of program they have, and so you really don't know until you start playing games. And then so And I'm going to tell you, at the end of the first half, we go in the locker room, and I'm like, man, we may have something this year, you know, because these guys fought. They came out. We came up a little bit short, had a couple turnovers in the second half. But the way we came out and fought against a Notre Dame team that historically has been so great, I knew we had something this year. And we just continued to build off of it. We've gotten better each and every week. And I think that's how champions are made. And I think that's where we're the makings of that.
Absolutely. I have something this year. Coming off a win over number 19, Wake Forest, in their place. And then this week, you've got number 2, Clemson, coming into your place Saturday at noon. Scott Satterfield's the head coach at Louisville. Scott, great to have you back. Thanks so much for doing that. Good luck to you.
Really appreciate it, Jim. Thank you.
Great talking to you, Scott. Thank you. Talking Louisville football. And they're 4-2, and they've got Clemson coming in. His point also, like, I'm hearing all this talk about how Clemson may not be what they've been. Clemson may not be as dangerous as they've been. His point is, I'm watching them on tape. I don't know what people are talking about. Dangerous as they ever were. And also, we notice about Clemson, they don't always start like that or start the way they want to start, but we know how they finish. So that's another good one. Clemson at Louisville, Saturday noon. All right, we will take a break now. When we come back, we'll talk some baseball. Cliff Floyd, 1997 World Series champ and an MLB Network analyst, joins me on the other side of this break. I do have time for your phone calls. I definitely will leave time for Alvin's 4 days that were and a huge call. Quick timeout. Cliff Floyd joins us when we come back.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Dell Small Business Technology Advisors can recommend tailored security solutions like servers, storage, networking. Plus, right now, get 45% off select business computers with Intel Core processors. To speak with a Dell Small Business Technology Advisor, call 877-BY-DELL. That's 877-BY-DELL. We are efforting Cliff Floyd, and we'll find him momentarily. The deck is back for more. This email reads, Jim, on your trip to Wisco this week, I hope you don't have to endure what I did this week. Flight not full, however, woman with dog sits in my row. The dog had no cage. It smelled awful. It was either dirty or was breaking wind. It was on her lap and suddenly jumped into the open middle seat. I tried like hell to not acknowledge the dog. I took the high road. I kept my trap shut, though I was bent the whole trip. Leave your hounds at the farm. We have enough to deal with dealing with exposed feet, reclined guy with his Rogaine dripping down the back of his seat, and loud, married business guy trying to impress single female travelers while he pounds his complimentary alcoholic beverage. Regards, Jim and Temecula. Come on, man, don't send me off with that email. You know I'm going to the airport right after the program. Don't send me off like that. Now I've got visions of a dog being in the same row, some dude dripping Rogaine all over me, a loud, married business executive trying to impress single female travelers with his free booze. Man, don't send me off like that. A little basic consideration. All right, so we are efforting Cliff Floyd right now. We'll have him momentarily. 1-800-636-8686. Let's go to SLC, Salt Lake City. Spencer, good to have you. Spencer, how are you?
Hey, I'm good. What's up, Dr. Roman Stein?
What's up?
Hey, definitely got me pumped up for that podcast, so good looking out on that. But I just wanted to give you some big ups for getting the youth some much-needed karma before this weekend's game. Clearly, Moss is a stud, snatching ankles, breaking records. He's well-spoken and humble. It's a beautiful thing. He's obviously a baller, as well as his cousin. Of course, I'm talking about the cowboy killer, Santana Moss. Truly, he's one of the very few bright spots of the Skins over the last, 2.5 decades or so. Always remember him scoring those two long touchdowns on Monday Night Football against the Cowboys. And, that's the life of a Skins fan, is holding on to the very limited moments from years gone by.
Let me jump in there, Spencer. Sorry about that. Hate to do that to you, but I found my guest. We are joined right now by a World Series champion, 17-year Major League vet. He was an all-star. He is an MLB Network analyst right now. He is the president of the Cliff Floyd Foundation. MLB Network has live coverage before and after every LCS and World Series game, including MLB Tonight, which is live from Yankee Stadium at 6 p.m. My guest is Cliff Floyd. Cliff, it's great to have you back. How are you?
Good, man. How you been?
Good, good, man. I'm great. And let me ask you first about postseason baseball. Before we get into the details of the ALCS and then the World Series, as a player, how different is postseason baseball from regular season baseball? Like, it seems pretty self-evident, but do guys feel pressure on every pitch and every play? Or once the game starts, Cliff, is it just baseball, just another game?
Yeah, you hit on the head. I mean, you know, there's so much preparation that goes into it, Jim, and I think the biggest thing is just slowing the game down. I think everybody talks about that, and you know how much information you take in, what you can sort of take out, before you get ready to play, right? Like I can get so much information on Zach Greinke and Tanaka, but at some point you have to eliminate all that stuff and go out there and play. So, you know, I know what his out pitch is, or I know some of the things I have to do defensively. And then either you make adjustments on the fly, and then you get on deck circle and you make adjustments as you see fit. That's the most important thing, is being able to separate those and then go out there and ball, come game time.
Cliff Floyd is joining us. Exactly right. So the Yankees are down 2-1 in the series. If they lose tonight, obviously they're down 3-1, and then they have to deal with Justin Verlander and Gerrit Cole coming up next. How much pressure then is there on the Yankees to get this done tonight?
There's a ton of pressure on them. And I think that's why I was a little taken back that they didn't have their big boy standing in the lineup the other day, for the simple fact that you never want to go down 2-1, especially at home, even though you get 3 at home, for the simple fact of a rainout or some things that's going to derail how things sort of play out. So you have to figure out a way to jump on Greinke tonight early, alleviate some of that pressure, and then play and hopefully win a ball game and tighten this thing up at 2-2. If you let the Astros go up 3-1, I think you and I both know it might be fishing time for the Yanks sooner or later.
Cliff Floyd joining us. Cliff, go back to Stanton for a minute. He's been dealing with injuries. He has not quite been himself. He did not play in the last two games. So what do you make of how things have played out with Stanton in the series so far?
Big fan of his, and I want to see him play. I was saying this earlier as just talking with the homeboys is, look, Marquise Grissom told me back in the day that if you can go on the field for batting practice and do some of the things that we've seen Stanton do, then you can play. And I'm not, and this is not knowing, the severity of the injury, but you have the luxury of the designated hitter. And if you hit a couple balls small, as we saw him do in game one, then everything else is forgotten. But I just think I'm thinking from a player standpoint and how big he is for that lineup and how he can lengthen that lineup. And he is a beast when he's in that box swinging the bat the way we've seen him swing it. So, I play with a lot of injuries. I know it's never easy, and I know everyone is different. But if I'm on that team walking through those doors as his teammate, I want to see him in that lineup because I know once swinging the bat, we back in this thing.
We are talking to Cliff Floyd. That's true, Cliff. When you played, you dealt with a lot of injuries in your career. You battled through a lot of injuries like a warrior. And then the series itself, Cliff, there's been a lot of talk about the notion of tipping pitches, stealing signs. If you put the series aside for a moment, where do you come out on that? Do you see the difference, or what is the difference between somebody tipping pitches and somebody stealing signs?
Well, I mean, again, Jeff, I'm talking strictly from a player perspective. If I can get a edge that way, you damn straight I'm going to get it. If I can get any edge that's going to give me a chance to go in that box and feel better, I'm going to get it. I played with a guy at the end of my career that I wish I had early in my career, Sean Green. He was one of the best at being able to figure out what a guy was going to do, as far as he was tipping or not. He did it every night. He had a book on it. He gifted it to somebody when he left the game. These are things that players do every single day. That hasn't changed. You can talk about old school, new school. It ain't changed, Jim. It ain't going to never change, because if you out there on the mound and you're doing something that's going to allow yourself to be in a position where we have an advantage, we're going to take it. I think that's just the nature of the game. As far as stealing signs, again, it goes with the territory. If your catcher is going to sit there and allow signs to be given, I think teams are going to take advantage of it. You see a lot of teams go against the grain and do different things as far as hand signals and so on and so forth. That's them thinking outside the box, going along with how they have seen certain teams play. And I don't know one team that's not trying to get an edge to win a ball game.
I appreciate that response. 100%. Cliff Floyd's joining us. You know, then you get this thing about, all right, it's one thing to try and pick signs, and some guys are really good at that, like you said, Sean Green, for instance. And then there's, like, how do you relay that information? There's the report from Game 1 that there was a whistling sound, Cliff, from the Astros dugout, and the Yankees took issue with that, believing that they were using the whistling to alert Astros hitters and that that's over the line. So, I mean, is there a line to be drawn there? Can you relay the signs but not whistle the signs? Where does whistling fit into the code?
Well, I think you can go too far. There is definitely a line. I don't know to the extent that people go, and obviously they'll go to any extent to get that edge. But if you cross that line, you know, there's repercussions to that, but I don't like Jim. Again, this is me saying, or being, you know, in a position where back in the day, if I'm just throwing a name out there, Hall of Famer Mike Piazza, if he set up early, some guys figured out a way to get that signal that this fastball was going to be inside. So what I'm telling you is everything. You know, in perspective, it's all in the game. It's moving fast. Everything's moving so fast that I somehow or another, you're going to have to step out. Somebody's going to have to make a point of it, and then, you know, maybe it stops. I don't know how that goes or how that situation plays out, but if whistling is going on, then somebody's going to have to step off the mound, holler at the umpire, and go, this ain't right, or whatever the case may be. You can't be putting guys on base and hitting guys and making them pay. That's not the repercussion I'm talking about. It has to be to the point where the game slows down, the game stops, and everybody's looking like, what the heck is going on?
We're talking to Cliff Floyd. Now, Cliff, you mentioned Marquise Grissom. You played with the Expos, and you were part of that now legendary 1994 Expos team. So moving to that for a minute, what's your reaction when you see the Nationals in the World Series? Like, as an Expo, do you feel a connection to this team?
You really do. I swear you do. And, you know, I look at so many, you know, different things that have happened with this Nats team that, you know, I go back to my Expo days and us missing opportunity to go to 94 postseason and do some special things that I thought our team was going to do. But just looking at how far they've come, you know, everybody talks about them 19-31 during the early part of the season and so on and so forth. But it's about how you finish. And I've always heard that from the time I got into the league to right now, Jim, it's about how you finish, man. Nobody remembers how you start. Yeah, it was a thought, but it becomes an afterthought when you ball and get to where the Nationals are. So you can start and you can set it down and bring the U-Haul boxes in there and pack up and go home, or you can keep fighting and know that you paid these starting pitchers, a hefty payday, you know, to go out there and continue to pitch. And it all worked out. They figured out the bullpen. They figured out how to get guys in there consistently to go do their job. They got the old vets, the Howie Kendricks and the Ryan Zimmermans, to go out there and ball and get healthy. And when you do that, you're going to pound teams at some point to be in a position where you get hot late, and then you can ride that wave to the World Series, and that's what the Nats have done. So hats off to them, man, for staying the course and dealing with that adversity, because every team deals with adversity. It's how you come out of it. It what makes you a beast.
Cliff Floyd joining us. You mentioned Cliff, Howie Kendrick, that guy. Is he not a pro's pro? Is that not the, like, proverbial example of a guy who can roll out of the rack swinging the bat? When you watch him go about his work, what kind of thoughts do you have?
Man, it gives you chills. It really does, because I've dealt with that Achilles. It's nothing to play with. It literally takes you to a place where you see the end before you want to end, man. You see him taking that jersey off your back before you want to give him that jersey. And, you know, to hear Howie say, you know, if I didn't sign that two-year deal, where would he be at his age and how the game has changed and evolved into the younger generation? But to see him doing his thing and balling the way he's balling makes the hair stick up on my arm, because I know exactly what he's going through to fight to get back. Your feet, your knees, your legs, everything goes through that Achilles and how it hangs, you know, how it stays together. If that don't get right, you're done. So to see him bounce back and be an absolute stud for David Martinez, to fight his way to get in that lineup every day. Hats off to him. And hopefully the game takes notice to how many guys balled out this year over age 30. Nelly Cruz named at the top.
Cliff Floyd is joining us. Now, Cliff, I'm about to get on an airplane, so it makes me think of something you tweeted earlier this month. Quote, "Hey, United, thanks for opening my bag and not closing it back. You ruined some nice things. Also appreciate your customer service dropping a, oh, that's terrible. We're sorry, but how about going to the store and buying some bleep y'all ruined? Hashtag, I'm being sarcastic. I'm pissed." Cliff, you're not the kind of guy to jump on Twitter and vent. Something bad must have went down. Can you lay it out for us? What happened that day?
Jay, my bag comes out. You know, I was fortunate enough to get, you know, priority. So my stuff comes around the belt. And I look at my bag. I'm like, yo, that looks weird. Like, so I'm on the other side. So my bag is literally going past people. And people are looking at it like, yo, that bag is wide open. My bag was halfway open with joggers. And I'm going to lay the name out. I got Hugo Boss joggers in there. I got Louis Vuitton joggers in there. And I had, obviously, some nice T-shirts in there. And my bag is half open with my joggers hanging out, coming around the belt. Get my bag. I'm so mad. Like I'm actually talking to myself, right? But I'm cursing. I'm talking to myself. I get my bag off. I go to customer service, which is right there at the Fort Lauderdale Airport, right on belt number one. I go in, and what ticked me off is how she handled that. It's just she shrugged her shoulders and was like, "Yo, sorry." Like she didn't say like, "That's terrible. They should do something about this. This is absolutely, this is absolutely absurd." Whatever the case may be, I don't care what she could have said. So now I'm really getting back into that moment. And I look at her, I go, "No, you don't understand. I was in priority, so my bag's going to come out first. Like, didn't somebody see this when they put it on the plane? Like, who opened the bag? I mean, I'm going through so many different scenarios." And she goes, "I'm sorry, sir. You just got to call this 1-800 number, and hopefully they can do something to help you." That's why I went on Twitter with the tirade. I had no intention of going there, but if you want to handle me like that, your customer service, and we're going above and beyond to sit in first class and do the whole priority thing, then you're really not sincere about how y'all handle that. And I wasn't sincere about what I wrote. They go on my DMs, go back and forth. They give me some voucher for future first class, blah, 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 and I think they gave me $400, Jim, off a future flight. That's it. So.
Did that make you feel any better?
I went down.
Hey, Cliff, I don't know for certain. I wasn't there, but I'm pretty certain. In fact, I can guarantee it. That bag did not open itself, Cliff. There's no way it did.
You feel me?
I do feel you.
It did. So if you're going through it, I mean, that was my thing to lay. I'm like, yo, you mean to tell me from the time I left Newark to Fort Lauderdale and how many people had this bag, nobody saw this bag, not just a little bit open, Jim, where you get maybe a sock out. I'm talking half the bag.
Dude, I'm shocked there was anything left in that bag. You know, I feel you, Cliff. I knew something went down. If you're going to jump on Twitter with that, I knew something went down. And by the way, she was not sorry that it happened. She was sorry that she had to talk to you about that. Let's not confuse those two things.
Exactly.
All right,
exactly.
I see you working.
And you know what? She's sitting behind a desk, and that's how they handle it. They give out numbers. Keep it moving.
You know, man.
You ain't the first, and definitely ain't going to be the last one come through here. So keep it moving. I don't deal with that here.
He is an MLB Network analyst. I feel you. A World Series champ, an all-star, a 17-year Major League vet. MLB Network has got live coverage before and after every LCS and World Series game, including MLB Tonight live from Yankee Stadium at 6 p.m. Cliff, you are the best. It is so good to have you back on, man. I appreciate it so much.
My man. Appreciate you. Safe travels.
You too, Cliff. Thank you, man. Me too. And you're the guy I'm going to be looking for if I have any of these issues today. Cliff Floyd. Now, why would you mess with his bag? He's not bothering anybody. Cliff is minding his own business. He's got somewhere he's going to be. I guarantee that bag did not open itself. My thanks to Cliff Floyd. Man, he was tough. That was a tough, hard-nosed player. 17-year ML vet. Love talking to Cliff Floyd. All right, we are coming back, and when we do, one last segment, and again, I am not here. Bill Ryder is in for me tomorrow. My man will be right here in the studio. And the reason I'm not here is I am going back to Wisconsin. It is Parents Weekend at the University of Wisconsin, and we have a child who is attending school there, so that's what we're headed back for. Right now, I do owe you a sports update. Here it is. It is dreamy. Al Galvin's iconic 4 days that were is coming up momentarily. One last segment. My thanks to Cliff Floyd, Scott Satterfield, Zach Moss, Utah Utes running back. Good player. Good young man, too. Enjoy that conversation. All right, so it's not a full week. Bill Ryder's going to come in tomorrow and wrap things up for me, but we had four really strong days. If you don't believe me, check out what Alvin just put together. Welcome to the jungle. What's going on? My name is Jim Rome. A tremendous Monday to you. You missed it. Hawk already walked into the studio. That's weird. That's unusual. And so are his pants.
Your pants.
Bro, are those capris? Or did you wear those in high school?
What?
How is that?
What's going on?
The fact of the matter is, when it comes to the NFL, nobody knows jack. We just don't.
Yeah! To the end zone.
How about we all take a moment and put a little respect on Minnesota Vikings quarterback Kirk Cousins?
I'm trying to write a story about how it was a motivator this week. It wasn't because I didn't know about it.
He knew exactly what had been said by people inside his locker room, outside of it, and pretty much everywhere else.
You like that? Touchdown, Sam Darnold!
Instead of working the Jets, they got worked by the Jets. The crazy clapper got worked by crazy eyes. If Jarrah could have gotten Riley there for the second half yesterday, he would have.
How about them Cowboys?
He is Charles Davis.
I might add a happy birthday to you.
Dallas ends up losing four in a row after winning their first three.
If we think the sky falls in Philly, it does the same thing in Texas, too.
Lincoln, Nebraska, G-off.
Rolling out his mouth.
Chase Edmonds, you were hyping David Johnson after the game for how he put the team on his back.
I put the team on my back.
This is a team effort. And you just got to find ways to appreciate everybody's role. That's what good teams really do. I just called Dave Big Bro, man.
Happy 55th to Van Smack. Happy 129th to Eisenhower. And happy 189th to his older brother, Rick. I'm honored to share this day with you. Lawrence Guy is my guest.
Truly is my first. Looks like the little Chewbacca. And then we got Pino. He's my toy Maltese. Then we got Bubbles is everybody's favorite. My bully Pitbull.
Hands to the face. Oh. Defense. Number 90.
That's terrible.
Yeah.
Please give it up for Clean.
Please give it up for
Do better. Got a major problem. There are numerous solutions. Do something. Because burying your head in the sand.
Wait for your
And rolling out these same crews to butcher these same games is killing the game. Chris Weidman is my guest. When you look at Jones right now, what are your thoughts?
He's failed a bunch of drug tests. You know, it's questionable. If, you know, is he a cheater or not cheater? I think there's an asterisk on his career.
Zeros on the clock. Fireworks shoot. The Packers have won.
You know, we're not playing the officials, playing the Packers.
They got up on them early. They had a chance to finish, and they didn't do it. Obviously, if you give Aaron Rodgers any kind of shot at all in the fourth quarter, he's going to take it because that's what he does. And the Lions should have known that. We all did.
I mean, watching these games, it's kind of like getting a colonoscopy, only worse. These refs were so terrible, they couldn't even find their
global army.
Oh, lost it, Rome.
My man, that was perfectly smooth sailing. Why did you off yourself like that?
It is caught by Jerron Brown.
And the NSYNC celebration, they do the bye-bye-bye celebration. Jerron Brown is my guest.
Hey, I have to give credit to Tyler. Tyler Lockett, David, before they both came up with that. You know, I feel like David kind of messed up one of the moves. So I don't know. I have to look at playback.
We're going to win that football game.
Could he be any more matter of fact?
We're going to go down there and try to win a game.
Whoa, whoa, what? Which one is it?
We're going to win that football game.
That sounds pretty definitive to me.
We're going to go down there and try to win a game.
That sounds not definitive to me. Lonzo Griffin, my guess, I know it.
Growing up, you know, we didn't have a ton of money, but we had all the love in the world, and a lot of people are part of my journey.
A totally brass move from a guy with a history of making those moves, and I love it. Man, ram it. Win-win. Win-win lose. Rams win. Jags win. Philadelphia loses. They reportedly tried to get him, and it didn't work out.
Win! Win! Lose!
Mason Crosby, my guess.
I got a bunch of friends that I go golfing with in Orange County. They're huge fans of yours. Got to give those guys a shout out.
I appreciate that. Where do you guys play?
Palm Springs every year, so they're huge fans of the Jim Rome Show.
I gotta find you guys then.
I like it. That sounds perfect. Come on up. You're always invited.
As long as they're talking, keep it going.
What a truly terrible take. People are talking. They're talking about us.
How about this?
Them horrible takes?
Yeah! I'm gonna start a GoFundMe page with all proceeds to be used towards your Al Roker fat man surgery.
But at least I can do something about my physical deformity. I was going to start a GoFundMe
me to fix yours, but I don't know how much stilts go for these days.
Joe Palmieri studies.
How did you become the hot dog king of Maine? Do you mix in brats? Boiled water hot dog guy? Corn dogs? Hamburgers? Didn't want any of that. The poor sausages. Is a hot dog a sandwich? How about the hot dog king of Vermont?
Come on.
Cliff Floyd.
If I can get an edge that way, you damn straight I'm going to get it. If I can get any edge that's going to give me a chance to go in that box and feel better, I'm going to get it.
Enjoy your birthday hanging out with knuckleheads like me.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Joe.
Just say Pepper Pig.
Off the glove of Alvarez. It's cool.
Moo, 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 Madison.
Jesus Christ. That's JC.
You really need that JC blast.
Anytime, Jim. Let me know. Curse. Man, I appreciate what you do, man. Stay hard, brother.
I don't know why he sent them, but thank you.
My man. You safe travel.
See you later. See you later!
Good night now!
The 4 days that were, we had another awesome week. Alvin DeLauro is a magician on the soundboard. Great job, Alvy. Thank you so much for that. Huge call is coming up momentarily. Now, you've probably got plans this weekend. Make sure you're prepared with windshield wipers that can handle anything and everything. Michelin Endurance XT silicone wiper blades are real-world proven for extreme weather performance. They last 2 times longer than other blades. New Michelin Endurance XT silicone wiper blades are only available at Walmart. How about a huge call?
But at least I can do something about my physical deformity. I was going to start a GoFundMe to fix yours, but I don't know how much stilts go for these days. I mean, when you were in HB this August, did you actively search for potholes to stand in when you got your picture taken? Dude, mix in some tippy toes. Jim, this guy is so tiny, bald, and bronze, it's down to Tarantino and Scorsese for who gets to take him home next February. But I guess at least we know why his voice is so chalky. It's because he eats handfuls of Flintstones vitamins to try to catch up to his students. And this is all irrespective of his garbage phone calls. Rome, think of it this way. Of all the brilliant callers you've had in the past, Aya Frady, Doc Mike, Sean, Brad, Josh in Detroit. I mean, not only the greats, but the ones the greats aspire to be. Some of the best lines in comedic history have been uttered on this show. Vic and NoCal panicking like Marv Albert when he forgets the safe word. Mike and Indy, toes in different area codes. Literally everything that came out of the mouth of Jim and Fall River's donkey. Gold in abundance. But the guy who currently sits atop the Jungle Power Rankings with his little baby legs dangling over the edge has never uttered a more clever phrase than, "Caleb is fat, you friggin' moron!" I can't comprehend how this guy is so popular, Jim. I will never understand it. I guess I'll just have to punt on this one. Clones, we are in the final stretch of the weight loss challenge. Official weigh-in is November 1st. I've lost 40 pounds. Beeks hasn't eaten a salad since the Reagan administration. Go to GoFundMe.com/BeeksVSCaleb to help us out. Every penny we raise goes to charity. Jim, I got to bounce on platform shoes, on step stools, on booster seats, on baby wells in the 360, on Wisconsin.
You get it better than that,
On Wisconsin, Caleb in Green Bay with a huge call. My thanks to Utah Utes running back Zach Moss. Louisville head football coach Scott Satterfield, 1997 World Series champ and MLB Network analyst Cliff Floyd. I am off tomorrow, but my man Bill Ryder will be in studio. He's going to hold it down, so make sure you check that out. Also, when you get a moment, check out episode 100 of the Jim Rohn podcast with David Goggins. Again, there is some extreme profanity, but it's an amazing conversation, an amazing listen, so look for that. I'm headed to Wisconsin. I will be back on Monday. See you then. Thanks for listening. Have a great weekend. I'm out.